Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ready from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Explanation of the Vedic Path, text number 17. Samana Kamarch, Samana Karma Charanam. Patitanam Napatakam. Outpattiko Gunasango. Nasayana Patyadha. Samana Karma Charanam. Patitanam Napatakam. Outpattiko Gunasango. Nasayana patatyadaha. Samana karma charanam. Patitanam napatakam. Utpattiko gunasango. Nasayana patatyadaha. Samana. Iku. Karma of work. Acharanam, the performance. Patitanam, for those who have fallen. Na is not. Patakam, the cause of fall down. Otpatikaha, dictated by one's nature. Guna becomes a good quality. Sangha, material association. Na does not. Sayanaha, one who is lying down. Patati, fall. Adha, further down. The same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. Purport. The Lord here further describes the ambiguity in ascertaining material piety and sin. Although intimate association with women is most abominable for a renounced sannyasi, the same association is pious for a householder who is ordered by Vedic injunction to approach his wife at the suitable time for procreation. Similarly, a brahmana who drinks liquor is considered to be committing a most abominable act, whereas a sudra, a low-class man who can moderate his drinking, is considered to be self-controlled. Piety and sin on the material level are thus relative considerations. Any member of society, however, who receives diksha, initiation into the chanting of the Lord's holy names, must strictly obey the four regulated principles: no eating of meat, fish or eggs, no illicit sex, no intoxication and no gambling. A spiritually initiated person neglecting these principles will certainly fall from his elevated position of liberation. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gada Maheyam Tadatitsva Padantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate galim yakripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. My father used to have a saying, one man's meat is another man's poison. for what may be beneficial for one may be detrimental to another. And here we have some simple examples of association. For a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life, association with the opposite gender is inappropriate and potentially degrading. And yet, on the other hand, for a householder who follows the regulated principles, that's appropriate association. So one has to be careful in understanding how to apply principles of time, place and circumstance. Desha Kala Patra. Desha Kala Patra. The place, the time and the person. Right? Just like the other day, there was one of the brahmacharis was sitting next to an attractive young girl. Right? And one of the devotees saw him and he said, what is this brahmachari doing sitting next to this young girl? This is not appropriate for a brahmachari. Huh? And it turns out that the young girl happens to be his cousin and he's known her since she was 2 years old, or, you know, since she was a baby. Right? So, he's, you know, the association is actually quite appropriate because it's his cousin, and not that he's spending a lot of time with her, but it's not inappropriate that we be at least hospitable to and polite to our relatives. Right? In other words, we have to be practical. Right? We should be practical in our dealings. For ultimately our elevation, we're concerned about our elevation, and so therefore association is important. But we're also concerned about the elevation of others as well. A devotee is concerned not only for his own advancement, but for the advancement of others. Just like Prabhupada, when he first established ISKCON before he had even established ISKCON as a, oh no, maybe it might have been. Yeah, I think ISKCON was established. Yeah, it was. But and one of the first things that Prabhupada did, one of the first, after he had initiated his disciples, then he performed what ceremony did Srila Prabhupada perform after he performed the initiation ceremony? Anybody know? A wedding. Who did he perform the wedding ceremony for? Anybody know? Huh? Somebody and somebody, yes. Huh? Mukunda. Yeah. Who's now Mukunda Goswami? And Prabhupada, you know, himself acknowledges, and he mentions it in the Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, ordinarily a sannyasi wouldn't have anything to do with arranging marriages, wouldn't be performing or participating in a wedding ceremony. Ordinarily that's not the sannyasi's business. But because it's appropriate for the young man and the young woman, and because Prabhupada wanted to establish you know, marriage as a institution and the importance of marriage as an institution within the society. Therefore, he understanding the principle, you know, or shall we say, considering time, place, and circumstance. Right? He wanted to encourage his disciples. Of course, most of his disciples were at that stage hippies, and so marriage was something, you know, relationships between boys and girls were somewhat loose, shall we say, in those days. That was the culture. So Prabhupada wanted to encourage marriage as a religious principle amongst his disciples. So ordinarily, sannyasis being involved in arranging marriages and performing the marriage ceremony is not appropriate. But because Prabhupada could understand the benefit and the purpose, as is mentioned here, the association of a woman or with a woman for a sannyasi is inappropriate, but for grihastha it is part of the purification for the ashram. So it's entirely appropriate. So Prabhupada, understanding those principles, then arranged the marriage. He even cooked the feast, you know, performed the jagya, probably cleaned up afterwards. In those days, Srila Prabhupada, you know, wasn't like everybody was running around saying Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. It wasn't like that at all. It was, you know, Prabhupada generally set these things up himself, cooked the feast, distributed the prasadam, and then had to clean up afterwards. So we can imagine, you know, the sacrifice, the effort, the endeavour that Srila Prabhupada went to establish these principles. In the early days, he was basically doing everything. So, kala desha patra, time, place, and circumstance are important considerations in applying principles. Too much attachment to the rules and regulations can actually be a detriment. Being too loose and not following any rules and regulations is also a detriment. So it requires some appreciation and understanding of how to apply the principle so that it's appropriate for the person. This is very important. And why one has to have a broader perspective on how everything fits together and works together. Especially when we're... And that requires maturity. It requires guidance, so that one can apply principles appropriately, so that ultimately everybody will be benefited. And it's one of the reasons why we approach a spiritual master. There are so many principles in the Vedic literature. Even some of those principles, as Prabhupada points out, are apparently contradictory. Right? You know, and Prabhupada makes a point that in the introduction to the Isipanishad that in the Vedas it states that stool is impure. Right? Stool is impure. Yet by the same token it says that the stool of a cow is pure. And you can use it for all sorts of antiseptic purposes. Right? When Krishna killed Putana, then all of the gopis were disturbed that Krishna would be at risk. And so whilst chanting various mantras for purification, for the protection of Krishna, they first of all smeared him with cow stool, basically, then bathed him with cow urine for his protection. It's just a little baby. And Prabhupada mentions in his purports that the residents of Vrindavan had a very intimate connection with the cows. When the cows got ahead of Krishna and Balaram when they were in another pastime, when they were looking after the and herding the cows. The cows actually got away from the cowherd boys. They were playing or doing, you know, mucking around, having a bit of fun. But then the cows, and then they were in total anxiety, because for the residents of Braj, you know, the cows were their livelihood and their protection, and you can see that in the pastime of Krishna killing Puttana, because, you know, they smeared Krishna with the cow dung and with the urine as a form of protecting him, to keep him safe. And the cows were seen as their livelihood in a very deep, and they were very deeply connected in an emotional and affectionate way. Of course, in this day and age, you know, if you told somebody, you know, if you want to protect your child, then this is what you do, they might not appreciate it. So it requires some understanding and appreciation of what's actually going on. So, you know, the Vedas say stool is impure. But then it says we should apply cow stool is pure. So how do we understand that? There's a contradiction, or Prabhupada gives the other example of the Vedas say that bones are impure, contaminated. Yet we use the conch, which is considered pure. So it appears to be contradictory. So there are instructions in the Vedas which appear to be contradictory, but according to time, place and circumstance, they're appropriate. So one has to know how to apply those principles according to kala, desha, patra, time, place and circumstance. Or time, place and person. Sometimes Prabhupada says time, place and person. So the other example is given here, you know, a brahmana drinking alcohol is considered degrading, a most abominable act. Yet a sudra who controls his drinking, you know, only has a couple of drinks a night, he's considered to be self-controlled. Oh, you only had two drinks. You only drank two bottles of beer. Oh, good. That's very good. Instead of drinking the whole slab and completely wiping himself out. So this is, according to the modes of material nature that a person has acquired, then different activities are appropriate for their elevation. As is mentioned here, if a person is completely fallen, they can't go any further. And so therefore, for the sudras, you know, encourage them to drink in moderation is actually beneficial for them. Obviously, for a brahmana drinking, then he's going to fall down from his elevated position. But for a sudra, controlling his drinking is encouraged. So this principle of application, appropriate application of devotional principles is very important, especially for those who are trying to elevate others. We want everybody to come to a very high standard of devotional service, but at the same time we have to appreciate where they're coming from and what they're capable of maintaining and achieving. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that one shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant, but rather should engage them in acts of devotion, so gradually they become purified and will become elevated. Because of association, one can be influenced. Association is extremely important for those who are following devotional principles. They have to be very strict. Asat sangat tyagi vaishnava charga. Lord Chaitanya mentioned to the residents of Kulinagram that for a devotee, first characteristic or quality is to, or shall we say, one of the most important, is to give up bad association. Actually, Lord Chaitanya mentions that the first qualification of a devotee is that they chant Hare Krishna. But we can tell how advanced a person is by how detached they are from material activities, from material engagement. And so therefore, we may chant Hare Krishna, that's elevated to be more advanced, asat sangatyag, we give up bad association. If one wants to maintain their devotional progress, maintain devotional spiritual advancement, then one has to follow these. Basically, we follow the regulated principles. Tat tat karma pravartanat, Rupa Goswami mentions. Utsahan nischaya dharyat tat tat karma pravartanat. Sangachyaga sato vritte sadvidhir. Pranasyati. Forgotten the last line. Sad bhakti pranasyati. Is that right? Anybody know that verse from the Upadeshamrita? Shadvi bhakti prasidyati. Yeah, prasidyati means to support or to. Vinasyati means to destroy or to break down, to corrupt. Prasidyati means to support, to maintain. So. Enthusiasm, determination, patience, these qualities are recommended. Then tat tat karma pravartanat, which means one follows the regulated principles. That means avoiding some things, accepting other things. And then sangatyag, the association of materialistic persons, materialistic activities is avoided. Sato vritte, then one follows in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So the devotees who are elevated and making progress in the clearing stage, at least, of devotional service, which is the beginning stage of a madhyam bhakta, is following the regulated principles. But not everybody we meet necessarily can follow those principles, and so therefore what's good for us may not necessarily be good for them. And that's one of the reasons why we go and chant Hare Krishna, to give people a chance to hear the holy name, so they become benefited from that association. We encourage them, take prasadam, we give them books. But we don't immediately go and say, you know, we've got to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulated principles. If you don't do that, you know, you become a hog and a dog and a camel and an ass in your next lifetime. Maybe true, but One shouldn't disturb the minds of the ignorant. Rather, we encourage them in acts of devotion so that gradually they'll be elevated. It's like Prabhupada says, the conditioned souls are like wet grass, and they need to dry out before you can ignite the fire of Krishna consciousness within them. So we may not discourage certain behaviours in others, even though for ourselves those things are entirely inappropriate, because we want to gradually bring people up. So again, this is kala desha patra, time, place and circumstance. Understanding how to apply devotional principles so that they benefit everybody. That requires some maturity and a sense of appropriateness. Okay, I think I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? According to the most material nature, we have brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas and sudras. So a vaishya following the rules and regulations, sudra following the rules and regulations for the sudras is considered appropriate, and that's the example of a sudra moderating his drinking, right? That's a good quality. A sudra following, a sudra may be engaged in what would be illicit activities for a brahmana, right? But because a sudra is faithful to his occupation, he may work under the guidance of the brahmanas or the kshatriyas or the vaishyas because he's faithful to that service, and he lives in a regulated way for a sudra, right? Then that's good. So those acting according to the qualifications of a sudra, even though he's a sudra, and that for a brahmana would be inappropriate and degrading, for the sudra it's considered to be a means or it's a platform from which he can make advancement. Right. So that's considered good.
Just speaking about activities.
Yeah.
Here you said the material association, like the association is understand people with whom we talk and spend time. No, here it's not.
It refers to one's general condition. Yes. The association that one acquires as a result of the modes of material nature that one's been accustomed to or associating with. So, not the association of others necessarily, but just the general condition of the individual, of the living entity, the conditioned nature of the living entity, put it that way. And of course, that's then prescribed in the Vedas. It's prescribed. So for the sudras, these are considered the Manusamhita. There's descriptions. Here's what the sudras do. Here's what the vaishyas do. Here's what the kshatriyas do. Here's what the brahmanas should do. So according and that's the association that one keeps. So if we follow those guidelines that are given in the shastra for that particular vana or ashrama, then that's considered to be beneficial. It's one's natural position. Right? And therefore, you know, Krishna mentions to Arjuna, better to perform your own duties, even if faultily, than to try to imitate others. Because ultimately you'll end up coming back to the point at which you're, you know, naturally situated. Tulsi.
If a devotee can argue is saying the old sutra before
the devotee. A devotee who's what? Well, he's a Vaishnava, but usually we act according to our propensities, and so usually we take our natural prarabdha karma, which means basically, you know, our lot, what we have, the nature, the characteristics that we have. We take them and we utilize them in devotional service. So a person may be conditioned by the modes of material nature to act in a particular way, have certain propensities, will work in a particular way, will be naturally inclined, at, depending on the stage of their career, to a particular ashram. So in order to be steady and situated at a level from which they can actually make spiritual progress, they may be situated in one of the four varnas or ashramas, right? But we don't judge a Vaishnava based on their past activities. We judge a Vaishnava based on the fact that they're taking those facilities that they've been allotted or that they've acquired as a result of their association with the modes of nature, and are then utilising those things in devotional service. So we don't see them according to their material position, but rather we see them according to their spiritual position. So we can see in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, for example, he had sannyasi associates, he had householder associates, brahmachari associates. And he was appreciative of them all because they, in fact, most of Lord Chaitanya's associates were householders. And, you know, they were appreciated for their devotional qualifications, not necessarily whether they were a Vaishya Sudra or whatever. And you can see that in a number of examples. You know, there was the example of the brahmachari who only ate fruits, right? And Lord Chaitanya wasn't impressed. You know, so what? You're a brahmachari who only eats fruits. If you're a brahmachari who only eats fruits, you know, birds only eat fruit. The important thing, I think, the devotees wanted. He wanted to be allowed to participate in the kirtan, wasn't it? In the sankirtan, at Srivas Acharya's, at Srivas Pandit's house, isn't it? And Lord Chaitanya discouraged. He wasn't impressed, and they said, "Oh, he's a brahmachari and he only eats fruit." Lord Chaitanya wasn't impressed. But Ramananda Roy is a householder. Basically, he was a Kshatriya, pounds, shillings and pence man in one sense, governor. He was the governor of Madras. So, in one sense, an elevated personality and somebody that a sannyasi wouldn't associate with. Right? But because Ramananda Roy was a very, very elevated devotee, then Lord Chaitanya would take instructions from Ramananda Roy. Huh? So, you know, we don't see the material qualifications of a person, but rather we look at their devotional qualifications. And we understand that each person will be at a certain stage of Varna and Ashram. Varna is generally fixed. Ashram changes throughout one's life. And we look at the degree to which they take those natural propensities that they have, and then, following the regulated principles, engage those talents and their propensity to act in devotional activities. And so therefore we say, oh, he's a Vaishnava. He may be a householder or a brahmachari or a sannyasi. He may be a brahmana, vaishya, kshatriya, sudra. It doesn't matter. As a verse, kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra keni noa yei krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. Kiba vipra, whether you're a learned brahmana, kiba nyasi, whether you're a sannyasi, or sudra keni noa, whether you're a sudra, Krishna tattva, if one knows the truth about Krishna, then one can be a guru, regardless of any of the conditionings that we have, right? So that's how we may have, certainly we have conditioning. That's why this verse is important, because basically we may come with certain propensities. Brahmana, Vaishya, Sudra, Kshatriya. But we shouldn't be judged by those material associations. If one has a strong affection and attachment for chanting Hare Krishna, then we recognize the Vaishnava. And then we see that that devotee then appropriately engages those propensities in devotional service. Therefore, we recognize the devotee before we look at the externals. How's that sound? Steer clear of them. Yeah, we should be appropriately engaged. I think that's important. Yeah. Right. It's not so good to have passionate pujaris. They start throwing the paraphernalia around. I can tell you some funny stories about passionate pujaris. But you know, for us, we worship the deity whether we're brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas or sudras, right? And that's one of the reasons why we rise early, go to Mangalarti, and then sit down, and because that activity in and of itself is immensely purifying, and it's an opportunity for all of us to cultivate the mode of Shuddha Sattva, which is pure goodness. We may have certain characteristics and qualities that we can engage in our daily activities, but for all of us, worship of the deity, in other words, the Bhagavad Vidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi, they go together for everybody in the Vaishnav Sangha or a Vaishnav association. So, yeah, if a passionate person, maybe their occupation may not be as a brahmana, but still that doesn't mean that they don't do brahminical activities, especially in the morning. Practically speaking, for all of us, we engage in brahminical activities in order to purify that passionate or ignorant tendencies that we may have. Somebody else? Question? Thank you.
Can you repeat the
translation? Can I repeat the translation? The same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. Make sense?
Krishna said it.
Krishna said it, yep. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava, I believe. Okay. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.